It's time for Motherlode Views, a look at the issues important to the quality of life in the Motherlode. Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service. No job is too big or too small. Call 532-2460.
Well, good morning and welcome to Motherlode Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. The Tuolumne County Search and Rescue Team is a volunteer organization that plays a critical role in helping people all throughout the year. This is an important period for the team as they are currently enrolling new members, and there is also an important fundraiser to keep operations rolling. Joining us today to talk about the Tuolumne County Search and Rescue Team is Ashley Bujikian, an investigator with the Tuolumne County Sheriff's Office and a search and rescue liaison and unit leader, and Lee Spokas, who is a volunteer with the Tuolumne County Sheriff's Office Search and Rescue Team. She is with the Rescue Division Field Training Officer. So thank you both for coming on today.
Thank you for having us.
I'll start first with Lee Spokas. As a volunteer with the Search and Rescue Team, can you tell us a little bit about the role and the history of the group?
Of this team in particular, this team is celebrating dang near its 51st birthday. And a unique thing about our team is that the person that founded our team 51 years ago, is still a current and active member, Jimmy Scruggs. And it's a pretty cool opportunity to serve with someone who's not only started the team, but remains such an active player.
That's great. So what inspired you to join Search and Rescue?
I've been doing Search and Rescue for 19 years now, going on 11 years here in Tuolumne, and then almost 9 years in Montana. I've spent my whole life recreating outside and was pretty motivated to spend more time to help people.
You know, what do you kind of find is the more rewarding parts of Search and Rescue?
It's kind of a weird thing. I think those of us who are really drawn to search and rescue, the idea of not going out to help someone is so foreign to us. So just that opportunity to help someone and have really interesting tools to do so. And honestly, the camaraderie on the team, like, they become your family.
We appreciate you and others for getting involved with search and rescue. Ashley Bujikian, how did you get involved with search and rescue?
So I first got involved with search and rescue shortly after I was hired with the sheriff's office around 2014. And I joined as a liaison. So that is a role where we run the searches kind of as the management. So we follow the incident command system. So we act as the incident commander, and we really make sure the team has the resources that they need to do the job that we're asked to do that day. So whatever the mission is, we're responsible for running that mission, making sure we have all the resources we need, making sure our volunteers have everything they need.
Like our snacks.
Our logistics, yeah. We're kind of behind the scenes running everything while the volunteers are out there in the field taking care of the actual call.
So when you get a call to the sheriff's office that someone may be missing out in the wilderness area or whatever the area is where the search and rescue team is going to go, can you kind of take us through the process of the different steps to actually getting the team out there?
Yeah, so initially a call comes in, and that call is identified as something where we're going to need search and rescue. And that can be identified by our dispatchers or by the first deputy who responds. And we'll get called out as a liaison, so we share on call. So we'll get called at home, or if we're at work, we'll just get called. And we'll get the information, we'll map it, so we have an idea of where we're talking about and an idea of what resources might be needed to get into that area. At that point, we will call the team and give them all the information, and they will page out all of our team members. So once that page goes out and the resources are requested, the team responds to the command post and we go from there.
And Lee, what would you say are the most common type of search and rescues that you see in this area?
Oh my goodness. There's a reason why we have a lot of specialty teams, because we can do anything from operating a winter mission at 10,000 feet up the top of the pass to a swift water mission in hot weather, you know, closer down in the valley, because we also will help on mutual aid. So we're helping our neighboring counties as well. But typically, honestly, and sorry, there is no typical, but we do see a lot of lower leg injuries, people who have become injured and can't hike back out. And honestly, a lot of times now, people who've just simply misplaced themselves. But with the advent of this like technology where we can actually use satellite texting, when they've misplaced themselves or they've become injured, we're able to respond. We hear about it a lot sooner now, which is actually a really neat feature.
I want to get into a little bit more about, you mentioned the specialty teams, because mm-hmm. I know you're looking for volunteers for search and rescue, and some people may have unique skills that would be good for certain things, and others may say, oh, well, I couldn't just hike up, you know, the top of a mountain, that type of thing. So what can you tell us about the specialty teams and the different skills that the different people bring?
Oh, my goodness. We have a lot. So like you said, I'm in charge of the rescue division, so anything rescue, I help organize, and then I'm actually in charge of a couple different teams within that division. So I run the rope rescue team, and then I co-lead Swiftwater, and I help with off-roading, and I will also help a little bit with our medical team because I'm clearly quite addicted to this. But in addition to that, we do have our rope team. We have a Nordic team, so a winter rescue team. We have an off-road and snowmobile team. We have an incident command team, where those are the people a lot like our deputies who are behind the scenes, making sure we're going the places we need to go, making sure we have comms and good maps, which is clearly quite important. We have a really amazing dog team. We have a mounted, so I'm also a co-lead for our mounted, so horseback team, and rope rescue in Swiftwater.
Ashley Bujikian, how difficult is it to coordinate the different tasks and the different skills to move forward on the mission?
It depends on the situation that you're sent to, but we are great at figuring out what we need and communicating that. Our volunteers are great at evaluating the situation, letting us know, do we need additional resources? For example, we have CHP. Their helicopters come and assist us all the time in situations where it makes more sense to use an air asset than some of our ground assets. And we also have the ability to reach out and request additional mutual aid from neighboring counties. So it can be very challenging, but we have so many repetitions because we're a pretty busy team that we are very capable of figuring out what we need to do and getting those resources there to do it.
I think it's kind of cool. We're actually a pretty small team. Like the team I came from in Montana had a roster of 200. We have a roster of 27. So we all, to like be a really active member of this team, we all wear a lot of hats, and so we kind of seamlessly will switch roles where, you know, I might be a team lead on one mission, and for another reason I'll have another teammate jump up and be a team lead there, and we just all work really closely together. Like I said, because we are a small team, and what we do can be, there are, you know, risks and consequences. These people become your, like, family, so we all work so tightly together that from the outside, yeah, it looks pretty daunting, but we've done it so many times together. She can call me at 3 a.m. and like you're instantly awake and ready to go.
Ashley Bujikian, anything else you want to add about just connecting people's skills with the tasks that you have with search and rescue?
Yeah, it does require a lot of training. So you mentioned new members. When new members come on the team, they do undergo a lot of training, and it can be a lot for somebody who's never done some of this type of training before, but our members are very good about continually.
Oh, we're passionate about it, and we make it yes. fun. Like, it will become an obsession.
Yeah.
I can tell you're passionate about it.
Yes.
The energy is coming through the microphone.
We have a lot of fun. We do a lot of training to get to the level where we have a skill set that is, you know, a high level where we can go into these situations, and like Lee said, it's just second nature at some point, you know, because you have so many repetitions.
Need to take a quick break. We're talking about the Tuolumne County Search and Rescue Team on this weekend's Motherlode Views. They play a critical role in the community. A lot of volunteers are involved. Joined on the program this weekend by Ashley Bujikian, an investigator with the Tuolumne County Sheriff's Office. She is also the Search and Rescue Liaison and Unit Leader. Also, Lee Spokas, who is a longtime search and rescue volunteer, both locally and other areas of the country. She is the Rescue Division Field Training Officer. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service, where no job is too big or too small. We'll have our second segment coming up in just a minute.
Nate's Tree Service does more than trim trees. Nate's will remove tree hazards, clean storm damage, provide CDF fire clearance, eliminate beetle infestation, chip brush, and so much more. Nate's Tree Service is licensed, bonded, and insured. They even carry workers' comp for their employees for your protection. No job is too big or too small in the Tri-County area for family-owned and operated Nate's Tree Service. Call 532-2460. That's 532-2460.
We are talking about the important role of the Tuolumne County Search and Rescue Team on this weekend's Motherlode Views, what the operations are like. Also, later on, going to talk about a fundraiser that's coming up. We've also been talking about the enrollment period that's currently underway. We're joined in studio today by Ashley Bujikian, an investigator with the Tuolumne County Sheriff's Office and the Search and Rescue Liaison and Unit Leader. Also, we have a volunteer with the Tuolumne County Sheriff's Office Search and Rescue Team. Lee Spokas is the Rescue Division Field Training Officer. Ashley Bujikian, and I'll go back to you starting off this segment. You know, what does it kind of look like for a new search and rescue member to come in and the things that you do?
So we accept applications throughout the year, and then we add new members to the team during the beginning of the year. So we'll be accepting applications through the end of this month. And in January, we'll do interviews and hear from prospective applicants why they want to be on the team, what outdoor skills they already have. From there, they do have to go through a background check, and then we onboard them onto the team by putting them through a really concentrated amount of training, which we call our academy. And that's going to be a month and a half, 2 month long process where they do a lot of training. And then for the first year, we're asking them to attend as much training as possible. If you want to elaborate on training.
Yeah. So we, like we mentioned before, we have several different specialty teams. If you want to attend every single training, you could be training 3 or 4 nights a week. And we realize that most of us probably can't do that. But the more you train, one, the more addicted you get. You're like, this is amazing. I want to join every single team. When you're a new member, because like I mentioned, what we do, there are risks associated with it. The more you train, the more embedded you are in that team. And the more you kind of become part of that team and get to, like, participate in these really fun and interesting missions. That first year, yeah, just jumping in is doing as many things as you can. And some people are really interested, like, oh, I'm really interested in swift water. I like swimming. Like, so we try our best to really integrate our new members into those more interesting and, like, specialized teams.
But when it comes down to it, we need people to search as well. So
yes,
just getting through that initial training qualifies you to go out on those searches where we're just looking for somebody.
Which honestly is like 85% of our calls is going
yes.
out. Like, how comfortable are you hiking in, you know, not great weather at night? And like, I think honestly our biggest attribute isn't just like all these specialty teams. It's that willingness to respond at 1 a.m. Like, it's raining, I'm in bed and I'm warm. Yes, of course I'm going to go get up and walk around in the rain. I think it's that long-term, short-term memory loss of, like, that was awful. That was amazing. That's what we really look for.
And the training that you mentioned, is that all done in-house then, or do you have to go outside the area for training?
It's a combination.
Yes, combination.
So probably 80% of our training is done in-house. We're pretty lucky. We have a team with a really high level of specialized training that kind of just joined. But we do go out of house for some specific things, like because of all these fundraisers we've had, we've been able to do a lot more out of house training. So for swift water, more advanced medical training, we do go out of house for that. Tracking, fire, like searching in burned areas, we go out of house for that as well.
And Lee, I'm curious too, just how does it work kind of balancing, you know, work life with search and rescue and the other demands of life?
I'm probably the worst person to ask because I'm so addicted to it. Like, SAR became so much of my life. Like, I've been doing it for 19 years. And the first call I went on, I was 19 or 20. Now everybody knows how old I am. I legitimately was able to save someone's life with my teammates. So, like, it does change you completely. But you can still balance having, you know, your job. Like, we realize that this is a volunteer position and that you're not going to be able to respond to every single call. You're going to want to. Like, that's the hard part. But you can't. Like, you have to, like, still, you know, go to work. But a lot of times those initial calls go out and there may be only 6 or 7 of us available. And if it continues in that next day, you have time to prepare. You're like, okay, get some time off of work. And honestly, the unsung heroes of this SAR team are the significant others who don't go out and search, and, you know, we're leaving them behind. We have some really, really understanding significant others, but it is very possible. And a lot of our, like, people's kids, like, we all, like, share. Like, I've definitely, like, dropped kids off at school for my teammates. Like, all right, I'll drop your kids off. You feed my horses for me. Like, we all make it work.
Sounds like becoming part of a new family as well.
It definitely is.
I'm curious too, Ashley Bujikian, and what is kind of the role of, like, GPS and drones and specialized canines with search and rescue?
So we have You mentioned a few things. GPS first is what I'll cover. We utilize a mapping app for our team called CalTopo, and that allows us to really accurately map the areas that we're going, and it also tracks where we have been. So we can look at an area and see the tracks where we've been and kind of have an understanding of now where do we need to go next, what areas can still be covered. GPS also plays a role now in being able to find people more mm-hmm. quickly and accurately. If they're able to call us, then a lot of times we can get their coordinates. And communication is huge in the backcountry. It's something where if you're going to be going out, you're going to be going out alone. I highly recommend having a way to communicate, either via GPS or sometimes cell phones now even have satellite as an option. Because it can be, if something happens unexpected, it can be life-saving to be able to tell us where you are so we know how to get there. And then you mentioned canines. We have a canine team. Currently, we have 3 certified area canines, and they're also human remains detection canines, and they are fantastic at what they do.
Yep.
They do a lot of training, and they're certified through NASAR, and it's a 2-year process to get certified, but they do a great job. We utilize them frequently. You know, sometimes when you're looking for somebody who's deceased or has been deceased a long time, a lot of times the canine is one of the only tools you have to be able to find, you know, somebody who has maybe been deceased for a while and, you know, is kind of broken down. So, and what was the third thing that you asked about?
Drones.
Drones. Okay, yes. We use drones frequently also. Our sheriff's office actually has a fantastic drone team. And we call them out to assist us frequently. So if it makes sense to use a drone, we will absolutely deploy one. You can see a lot more from the air.
And it's nice, too, on some of those calls where it might be a higher risk to put an individual. Like we've had to go into, like, dark canyons or waterfall areas where we will put people if we have to. But if we can fly it first, and like if there's anything inconclusive, obviously we're going to send a person in. But if we can cover that area with less risk to the team, it's a fantastic resource. And another cool integration of like GPS is because of all this fundraising we've been able to do, we've also been able to get callers for our canine units so that way we can track where those dogs are. So it's really nice, especially for like the public to understand what we do. When we can show a map of like this is the area that we have covered, it's actually pretty phenomenal. And it's hard to explain it to people who haven't been on, you know, it's my family has seen me do SAR for 19 years, and they still don't quite get it. And when you can show people a map, like, this is the area we've covered. Yeah, it's really cool to see the integration of all our resources.
Yeah, very cool. You know, Lee, I know you've been on several missions. Does any one in particular really stand in your mind as one that, you know, you kind of go back to and think about from time to time?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I was trying to think about this last night because I knew you'd ask me this. I was adding it up with my missions in Montana and my missions here in California. I hit the 1,000 mission mark a long time ago. And there are several that stand out of where we were able to, like, make a significant, you know, impact in someone's life. But honestly, we actually rescued one of our teammates a few years ago in a climbing accident. He was guiding with me. And it was pretty phenomenal to watch, to, like, be a part of SAR. Like, we actually initiated the SAR because I was there with him. To both be a part of that rescue and be the rescue was pretty significant. And watching the care and the speed and the professionalism, and even though I'm a part of it, I was a little separated from it because it was initiated on my behalf. It was like life changing. And had we taken any longer, like everything happened the way it should, and like, there's a reason why we trained so hard. He would not have survived. And that was a cool use of a bunch of resources down from like, I'm paranoid and I carry a radio with me and a tourniquet, both of which I used. And we were able to actually talk to the air asset coming in. We were Cal Fire's first rescue, live rescue with their new Firehawk. And like again, like Ashley was saying, knowing what resources we have, like we use Cal Fire and CHP pretty frequently, and knowing that I needed a longer hoist for that particular rescue was huge. And then just seeing my teammates come out was amazing. Like you won't, I won't ever forget it.
Yeah, it really drives home the importance of search and rescue.
Yeah, and training. Yes.
Need to take one more break. We're talking about the Tuolumne County Search and Rescue Team on this weekend's Motherlode Views. First two segments, we've been talking primarily about the operations and the recruitment. During the next segment, we're going to talk about a big fundraiser that Search and Rescue has getting underway. Joined on the program this weekend by Ashley Bujikian and Lee Spokas. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service. No job is too big or too small. Our final segment coming up in just a minute.
Nate's Tree Service does more than trim trees. Nate's will remove tree hazards, clean storm damage, provide CDF fire clearance, eliminate beetle infestation, chip brush, and so much more. Nate's Tree Service is licensed, bonded, and insured. They even carry workers' comp for their employees for your protection. No job is too big or too small in the Tri-County area for family-owned and operated Nate's Tree Service. Call 532-2460. That's 532-2460.
And we welcome you back to Motherlode Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. We're talking about the Tuolumne County Sheriff's Office Search and Rescue Team, the important role that they play in the community. It's also fundraising time for the Search and Rescue Team. We're joined on the program by Ashley Bujikian, who is an investigator with the Tuolumne County Sheriff's Office. And with this interview specifically, she is the Search and Rescue Liaison and Unit Leader. We also have a volunteer with Search and Rescue, Lee Spokas, who is the Rescue Division Field Training Officer. So the fundraiser, Ashley Bujikian, and tell us all about this.
So this is our annual fundraiser. It's the second year we've done it. It is a raffle that goes throughout next year. So it is a calendar, and supporters can purchase the calendar for $100 a ticket, and that enters them into 12 raffles throughout next year, 2026, for firearms. And we also have additional prizes this year, including some tickets to the Kenny Meadows Music Festival, a month of weekly flower bouquets, a half-day ride at Kenny Meadows, material from Blue Mountain Minerals, and a day training with us, which I think is going to be...
That's going to be awesome.
Fun.
That's going to be the most fun prize. But yeah, all proceeds support the team with training and equipment. And it's a great cause and also great opportunity to potentially win some cool prizes.
And the calendar's pretty dang cool.
And the calendar features us. So, yeah, every month I have one here with me. It shows our SAR team in action doing different
missions and trainings.
Yeah.
Great Christmas present this time of the year.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
So how do people get the calendar?
So you can either reach out to your favorite search and rescue member. yes, they all have them available. Or you can come down to our main office at the Sheriff's Office, which is 28 Lower Sunset Drive, during our regular business hours. Or you can call to make arrangements to get one at 209-770-7114. And that is, you'll be talking to me if you do that. That is my work number.
The local businesses give the prizes that'll be raffled off?
Correct. Mm-hmm. Well, we local businesses support us and sponsor us, and we are so grateful to all of our sponsors this year. You know, we have a variety of sponsors. We have our Sheriff David L. Vasquez. He's been incredibly supportive of this team. We have Banks Glass, Eagle Realty and Management, Blue Mountain Minerals, Barron Motorsports Company, Pinecrest Expedition, we have Kendi Meadows, Tamra Pauly, the Tuolumne Band of Miwok Indians, Boyer Construction, Dodge Ridge, our DSA, Deputy Sheriff's Association, Heidi's, Heidi's Ski, Plum Construction, Solar Works, and Oak Valley Community Bank. They all sponsored us, and that allowed us to get the prizes. And then we sell the calendars and... combined, that's the fundraiser.
So for people interested in the calendar, what's the price to purchase one?
It's $100 per calendar, and like I said, that enters you into all of the drawings for next year.
Lee Spokas, anything you'd like to add about the fundraising?
I think it's kind of a cool opportunity, like, especially this time of year when we all look to like giving toward our community. This is a fundraiser where your money stays completely local. You're helping your potentially your friends and neighbors. Maybe your neighbor is a member of the SAR team. We call ourselves Secret SAR for a reason. Or if someone you know and love gets lost out there, you know that your resources are going to a really good cause, and you have the opportunity to win something really awesome. And honestly, Ashley and another member of the sheriff's office put the calendar together, and they did a really nice job. But they actually made us look good, which is, that's a hard thing to do.
I doubt that. Those are very cool pictures in there. So
it's hard to capture them in action because a lot of times
we don't have time to take pictures.
Yeah, everyone's so focused on the mission, mm-hmm. they don't get a picture. So,
but it is a really cool opportunity. Like, if you don't quite understand SAR and you want to give to that to your community, this is a really awesome opportunity to do that. And you can kind of see us in action. Like, they did a really nice job of trying to capture all of the different disciplines in that calendar.
Mm-hmm. And Ashley, I'll go back to you one more time. We talked a little bit about the application period, which is currently open for the search and rescue team. Can you tell us more about that if people are interested in applying, what they need to do and the steps to take?
Yeah, so they need to fill out an application. Those applications can be found on our website. They can be found on the county website as well as our personal website, which is tcsar.us. Once you've completed an application, it can be dropped off at the sheriff's office, which again is 28 Lower Sunset Drive in Sonora, or it can be emailed to me at abojikian@co.tuolumne.ca.us. Like I said, we're accepting applications through December 31st of this year, and we'll be doing interviews at the beginning of January for potential applicants.
Well, I've learned a lot about search and rescue from both of you here this morning. Lee Spokas, any closing comments you'd like to make as we have just a couple minutes left?
Well, for people that are interested in joining, like, it's going to be one of the coolest decisions you ever made. Like, you end up with a new family and endless opportunity for adventure that you don't know you're going to have yet. Honestly, it's the best thing I've ever done in my life.
Ashley Bajikian, anything you'd like to add?
Yeah, I just want to thank everyone in the community. We have such a fantastic community for supporting us throughout the years and continuing to support us. We have a fantastic sheriff right now who's very supportive of our team. We have our sponsors who are supportive of us. We have the general community that's supportive of us. And just a thank you to everyone for supporting what we do. We
couldn't do it out without
them. Yeah, and we're very thankful for the opportunity to provide the service that we do to this community.
As we wrap up today with what you've witnessed with your missions throughout the years, you know, if people don't want to be a subject of search and rescue, what is kind of the best advice, you know, especially this time of year if you're going to be heading out in the wilderness?
Communication.
Communicate.
And be prepared to be out overnight, even if you're like, I'm only going up for the day. Like, vehicles break down or you can get turned around, but at, you know, the barest minimum, let someone know where you're going to be and when you're planning to be back, even if you don't have satellite texting capabilities, because at least that gives us a starting point to look for someone, because if we just hear that they're lost in the Sierras are big.
A huge area.
Mm-hmm. Wide area.
Mm-hmm. And if you can bring a device, a satellite device, a GPS device that can communicate regardless of where you are, that is
it's
a huge,
huge,
yeah. So some kind of communication device that'll work no matter where you are.
In addition to a cell phone, are you saying, or what do you mean by that?
Well, if your cell phone is newer, it could have satellite texting capabilities, and that would be sufficient.
Or but like if, a Garmin InReach where you have, like, yes, satellite texting. So if you're not in cell service, you can still send a message or an SOS that often has a GPS location attached to it. It makes our job, we go from being a search to straight up being a rescue, which speeds up the process.
Correct.
Significantly.
Some of those they can text with us so we can communicate back and forth and really get an idea of what's happening, mm-hmm. so we know what to bring, what to expect when we get there.
Yeah, nice to see the new technology helping out in some areas.
It is, yes.
Definitely.
Well, I thank both of you again for coming on. We've been joined by a pair of members with the Tuolumne County Sheriff's Office Search and Rescue Team. We have Ashley Bajikian, an investigator with the Sheriff's Office and the Search and Rescue Liaison and Unit Leader. Also, Lee Spokas, who is a volunteer and a Rescue Division Field Training Officer with TCSAR. We've been talking about search and rescue as well as the big fundraiser taking place right now. If you missed any of the show, you can find it archived in the media section of mymotherlode.com. We'll see you back next week for more Motherlode Views.
You've been listening to Motherlode Views, a look at the issues important to the quality of life in the motherlode. Motherlode Views has been brought to you by Nate's Tree Service, where no job is too big or too small. Call 532-2460.